Today is the second day of April. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Welcome back around the global campfire. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Glad to be back. Jill and I swapped seats yesterday, as we've done the last couple of years on April Fool's Day, on the first day of April. So hopefully you had a good time with her yesterday. We had a good time at Chronological. But I am grateful to be back here. I am grateful that we get to do this at all. But I am very grateful that we can take the next step forward in this final book of the Torah, the book of Deuteronomy. Today we will read chapters 21 and 22. If a homicide victim should be found lying in a field in the land the Lord your God is giving you, and no one knows who killed him, your elders and judges must go out and measure how far it is to the cities in the vicinity of the corpse. Then the elders of the city nearest to the corpse must take from the herd a heifer that has not been worked, that has never pulled with the yoke, and bring the heifer down to a wadi with flowing water, to a valley that is neither plowed nor sown. There at the wadi they are to break the heifer's neck. Then the Levitical priests will approach, for the Lord your God has chosen them to serve him and to pronounce blessings in his name, and to decide every judicial verdict. And all the elders of that city nearest the corpse must wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they must proclaim, "Our hands have not spilled this blood, nor have we witnessed the crime. Do not blame your people Israel, whom you redeemed, O Lord, and do not hold them accountable for the bloodshed of an innocent person. Then atonement will be made for the bloodshed. In this manner, you will purge the guilt of innocent blood from among you, for you must do what is right before the Lord. When you go out to do battle with your enemies, and the Lord your God allows you to prevail and you take prisoners, if you should see among them an attractive woman whom you wish to take as a wife, you may bring her back to your house. She must shave her head, trim her nails, discard the clothing she was wearing when captured, and stay in your house, lamenting for her father and mother for a full month. After that, you may sleep with her and become her husband, and she your wife. If you are not pleased with her, then you must let her go where she pleases. You cannot in any case sell her. You must not take advantage of her, since you have already humiliated her. Suppose a man has two wives, one whom he loves more than the other, and they both bear him sons, with the firstborn being the child of the less loved wife. In the day he divides his inheritance, he must not appoint as firstborn the son of the favorite wife in place of the other wife's son, who is actually the firstborn. Rather, he must acknowledge the son of the less loved wife as firstborn and give him the double portion of all he has, for that son is the beginning of his father's procreative power. To him should go the right of the firstborn. If a person has a stubborn, rebellious son who pays no attention to his father or mother, and they discipline him to no avail, his father and mother must seize him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his city. They must declare to the elders of his city, "Our son is stubborn and rebellious and pays no attention to what we say. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all of the men of his city must stone him to death. In this way you will purge wickedness from among you, and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid. If a person commits a sin punishable by death and is executed, and you hang the corpse on a tree, his body must not remain all night on the tree, Instead, you must make certain you bury him that same day. For the one who is left exposed on a tree is cursed by God. You must not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. When you see your neighbor's ox or sheep going astray, do not ignore it. You must return it without fail to your neighbor. If the owner does not live near you, or you do not know who the owner is, then you must corral the animal at your house and let it stay with you until the owner looks for it. Then you must return it to him. You shall do the same to his donkey, his clothes, or anything else your neighbor has lost and you have found. You must not refuse to get involved. When you see your neighbor's donkey or ox fallen along the road, do not ignore it. Instead, you must be sure to help him get the animal on its feet again. A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor should a man dress up in women's clothing, for anyone who does this is offensive to the Lord your God. If you happen to notice a bird's nest along the road, whether in a tree or on the ground, and there are chicks or eggs with the mother bird sitting on them, you must not take the mother from the young. You must be sure to let the mother go, but you may take the young for yourself. Do this so that it may go well with you, and you may have a long life. If you build a new house, you must construct a guardrail around your roof to avoid being culpable in the event someone should fall from it. You must not plant your vineyard with two kinds of seed. Otherwise, the entire yield, both of the seed you plant and the produce of the vineyard, will be defiled. You must not plow with an ox and a donkey harnessed together. You must not wear clothing made with wool and linen meshed together. You shall make yourselves tassels for the four corners of the clothing you wear. Suppose a man marries a woman, sleeps with her, and then rejects her, accusing her of impropriety and defaming her reputation by saying, "I married this woman, but when I approached her for marital relations, I discovered she was not a virgin." Then the father and mother of the young woman must produce the evidence of virginity for the elders of the city at the gate. The young woman's father must say to the elders, "I gave my daughter to this man, and he has rejected her. Moreover, he has raised accusations of impropriety by saying, 'I discovered your daughter was not a virgin, but this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity.'" The cloth must then be spread out before the city's elders. The elders of that city must then seize the man and punish him. They will fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them to the young woman's father, for the man who made the accusation ruined the reputation of an Israelite virgin. She will then become his wife, and he may never divorce her as long as he lives. But if the accusation is true, and the young woman was not a virgin, the men of her city must bring the young woman to the door of her father's house and stone her to death, for she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel by behaving like a prostitute while living in her father's house. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you. If a man is discovered in bed with a married woman, both the man lying in bed with the woman and the woman herself must die. In this way, you will purge the evil from Israel. If a virgin is engaged to a man, and another man meets her in the city and goes to bed with her, you must bring the two of them to the gate of that city and stone them to death. The young woman because she did not cry out, though in the city, and the man because he violated his neighbor's fiancée. In this way you will purge the evil from among you. But if the man came across the engaged woman in the field and overpowered her and raped her, then only the rapist must die. You must not do anything to the young woman. She has done nothing deserving of death. This case is the same as when someone attacks another person and murders him. But the man met her in the field, and the engaged woman cried out, but there was no one to rescue her. Suppose a man comes across a virgin who is not engaged and takes hold of her and sleeps with her, and they are discovered. The man who has slept with her must pay her father 50 shekels of silver, and she must become his wife, because he has humiliated her. He may never divorce her as long as he lives. A man may not marry his father's former wife, and in this way dishonor his father. Luke 9:51-10:12. Now when the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set out resolutely to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers on ahead of him. As they went along, they entered a Samaritan village to make things ready in advance for him. But the villagers refused to welcome him because he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Now when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were walking along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have dens, and the birds in the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus said to another, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to my family." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Go, I am sending you out like lambs surrounded by wolves. Do not carry a money bag, a traveler's bag, or sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whenever you enter a house, first say, 'May peace be on this house.' And if a peace-loving person is there, your peace will remain on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that same house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the worker deserves his pay. Do not move around from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and the people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in that town and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come upon you.' But whenever you enter a town and the people do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." Psalm 74, a well-written song by Asaph. "Why, O God, have you permanently rejected us? Why does your anger burn against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your people, whom you acquired in ancient times, whom you rescued so they could be your very own nation, as well as Mount Zion where you dwell. Hurry to the permanent ruins, and to all the damage the enemy has done to the temple. Your enemies roar in the middle of your sanctuary. They set up their battle flags. They invade like lumberjacks, swinging their axes in a thick forest. And now they are tearing down all its engravings with axes and crowbars. They set your sanctuary on fire. They desecrate your dwelling place by knocking it to the ground. They say to themselves, "We will oppress all of them." They burn down all the places in the land where people worship God. We do not see any signs of God's presence. There are no longer any prophets, and we have no one to tell us how long this will last. How long, O God, will the adversary hurl insults? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Why do you remain inactive? Intervene and destroy him. But God has been my king from ancient times, performing acts of deliverance on the earth. You destroyed the sea by your strength. You shattered the heads of the sea monster in the water. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You fed him to the people who live along the coast. You broke open the spring and the stream. You dried up perpetually flowing rivers. You established the cycle of day and night. You put the moon and sun in place. You set up all the boundaries of the earth. You created the cycle of summer and winter. Remember how the enemy hurls insults, O Lord, and how a foolish nation blasphemes your name. Do not hand the life of your dove over to a wild animal. Do not continue to disregard the lives of your oppressed people. Remember your covenant promises, for the dark regions of the earth are full of places where violence rules. Do not let the afflicted be turned back in shame. Let the oppressed and poor praise your name. Rise up, O God. Defend your honor. Remember how fools insult you all day long. Do not disregard what your enemies say or the unceasing shouts of those who defy you. Proverbs 12:11. The one who works his field will have plenty of food, but whoever chases daydreams lacks sense. So sometimes, at least according to Jesus, you just have to shake the dust off your feet. That's what we're reading in Luke's gospel today. So Jesus resolutely, and that's like important, like he has turned his face toward Jerusalem resolutely because he knows what's going to happen there. And the resolve will take everything that he's got. So he's on his way, but he's preparing to send 72 followers in pairs to go before him into the villages that he was going to be moving through, and to replicate, to do what he was doing in the world. But interestingly enough, like his instructions were not a victorious prosperity pep talk. He told them the truth, and the truth was sobering. They were being sent as lambs among wolves. And they were being sent among predators. Jesus was always consistent in telling anybody who would listen. And that's the irony, is that we are followers of Jesus, but miss this reality most of the time. Jesus consistently told those that were following him the cost, that following these teachings and living this way would be disruptive to the world system, to the way of navigating in culture, and it would cost them everything. And anyone who began the journey and turned back wasn't worthy of the kingdom that was being revealed. Jesus was sober-minded with his friends. He came to reveal God's kingdom to a humanity that had fallen so far from its created identity that it no longer could even recognize itself. And this is borne out not only in the teachings of Jesus, but also, man, in the way that he suffered a horrible, agonizing, unspeakable death at the instigation of his own people. But as followers of Jesus, our mission isn't different than that of these 72 friends he commissioned today. And in truth, we still can find ourselves very easily lambs among wolves, among predators. Like, we've come a long way in a couple thousand years. Technology, wardrobe changes, like cars, like all kinds of things. The internet by which we gather every day. A lot has happened in the last 100 years, much less the last couple thousand years, but the human species, well, we're still pretty widely unhinged and confused and not paying attention to it. When we live the truth of the gospel, then we are effectively opening our eyes to see and our ears to hear and bringing light into darkness. And that sounds noble because it is. And that sounds like everybody would want that, but they do not. Even Jesus knew the difficulty of it. He says that even though the world was exposed to the light, it loved the darkness more. I mean, darkness is where you can hide things. Darkness is where you can just put your face into the light and look a certain way, but be another, which is the human story. So even we may need to reflect on how much light we can actually take in our darkness. But we are sure to face the same kind of opposition as these 72, because they face the same kind of opposition as Jesus, and that is church history. Opposition has been a part of the story all along. So when we respond to ridicule or marginalization or even persecution by getting vengeance or revenge or perpetuating the same kind of tactics, like maybe we're gossiped about, so we gossip about that person. When we use the same tactics used against us, we are not replacing darkness with light. We are doubling down on the darkness. So sometimes, like Jesus said, these things will happen. And when they do, maybe you just need to shake the dust off your feet and move on, knowing that you brought the good news of the kingdom. And that's all there is to it. Move on. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. So often we're brought into these positions where, well, we feel an injustice, and so we're defending ourselves, and we don't even really think about what you might be doing in a situation. We don't even seek wisdom on, like, is this the hill to die on, or should I shake the dust off my feet and just move on? Help us, Lord, as we move into this new month, to bring that as a category that, as we continue to observe ourselves and become more and more self-aware, well, we begin to see more and more of our patterns, and we begin to see more and more of the ways in which we react to things. And as your Holy Spirit is continuing to transform us in these ways, we ask that you would bring this story back to mind, that we would begin to be able to ask the question, should I be shaking the dust off on this and moving on? And we ask for your leadership and your guidance and your wisdom, because it will be leading us into all truth and it will be protecting us. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, our home base. And we are really hoping that we'll be launching the new app this month, hopefully this month. So stay tuned for that, because it's taken years to get to this point. So we'll talk about that. But in the meantime, have the Daily Audio Bible app, because when the new one rolls out, it'll be easy if you have it already. So check it out. While you're doing the checking out, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are a bunch of resources there for the journey that we are on. Check out the community section. That's where to get connected. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Oh, thank you so much this morning, Brian, for this reading and the exhortation after. We just appreciate it. We thank you that we've been listening about 4 years, my husband and I, and we appreciate so much. So we just pray for you and keep on and keep exhorting us and encouraging in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Brian, Jill, and Ezekiel. God bless you guys, and thank you for all that you're doing. Good morning, everyone else, and God bless you. Just thinking of Cowboy, I heard your request, brother, and I also am a prodigal. My nan and my auntie prayed for me for 20 years. I was involved in drugs, satanic, metal, Satanism, and every other vice you can think of, but God gloriously met me in my darkest hour and pulled me out of what was a very dark pit. So believing with you, brother, for your children to come to know him. My children are also currently not walking with the Lord. I'm praying for Samuel, who has mental health issues, and Emily, who has become interested in Harry Potter stuff. Praying for both of them to come to know him and to walk the same path that I now walk in Jesus. God bless you. God bless everyone. If you could also pray and agree with us for God to bring them out as prodigals and to use them for his glory, and may they glorify him in the process. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, DAB family, this is Brian calling from Florida. I hope y'all are having a blessed day. I'm calling for two things. First, if you would please pray for me, I am defending my doctoral dissertation very soon. I'm not sure exactly when, but it's coming soon, and would like to, have presence of mind and be able to put together that defense presentation and deliver it with excellence. Also, I want to pray for all you prayer warriors who are so faithful in lifting us all up. So here we go. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we ask your special blessing, your grace and guidance on those who are so faithfully praying and those who tune in and pray for the prayer requests that are submitted here. We pray for healing, restoration. We pray for guidance for those who are asking it. And we ask your abundant blessings on Brian and Jill in this podcast, protection. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Justified Now in North Carolina. It is March 28th, and I'm on my evening walk. But I just wanted to stop and dial in and ask the Dabbers to pray for my husband and I. My husband has been in the hospital two times this month in March. And he's having some difficulties with his kidneys and bladder and some other things. So I request that you pray with us that the Lord's hand will be upon us and that his healing grace would be on us and that he would empower me to take care of him. I'm his caregiver at home, and I need the strength and grace to do that. So love you, Dabbers, and thank you so much. I appreciate Brian and Jill and all the Dabbers. God bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Diana, his dearly beloved, calling from the Pacific Northwest. I'm calling in relation to the March 28th community prayer. The first caller, Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower, called in to pray for Melissa and all those with colds, viruses, and flus. Susan sounded like she was struggling as well. I'm also fighting something off along with my little grandchildren since last fall. They are both scheduled for urological surgeries on Tuesday, March 31st, and I'm praying for healing over all of us. At the 2:14 mark, 2 minutes 14 second mark, Sue from Texas, your plea for restoration from your daughter after 10 years of separation from her and her grandchildren absolutely broke my heart. I will be keeping you in my prayers, dear sisters. Heavenly Father, I rebuke illness and broken relationships in the name of Jesus and call on you as in Philippians 4:19. And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I love you, dear sisters, and everyone in our Dab fam.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. It's Sheena from Saskatchewan calling in another day of praying scripture over legal situations. 1 John 1:9. Father God, we lift up to you today Marjorie from New Mexico and the death of her father who was incarcerated. We are grateful that he repented and confessed his sins because, Lord God, you are faithful and just to forgive. Father, we are thankful that Marjorie's dad is in glory with you and that you have cleansed him from his unrighteousness. We are assured that through the sacrifice of Jesus, Marjorie's father is in your glory. We pray for peace for Marjorie, an easy transition for her to lay his body to rest and collect his belongings. Father, will you silence all the hate that is being received? This family and the victims have been through enough, and this only causes more issues. Father, soften your hearts in your son's Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, Marjorie. Oh, it's got to be tough. And I remember praying for your dad a couple years ago. Hang in there, sister, and we'll be praying for you guys. Love you.